Blog Talk Radio.
What about the children? How can they play? No play safe. It's gotta be a better way. People in the streets, no place to sleep, no food to eat. Oh,
as I look out the window, what do I see? I see poverty, people living in the street. How could this be? Whatever happened to humanity? Why can't we live in peace and harmony? It's such a sad reality, it's killing me.
What about the children? How can they play?
Oh my,
no place safe. It's gotta be a better
tell
way.
Tell me how the people talk about the people, yeah.
In the streets, no place to sleep, no food to eat.
Oh, wow, wow, wow.
Oh,
what's the purpose of a war? To keep the rich separate from the poor. It's just a game, and it's a shame. Oh, oh. Missing father, he's not in the home. Little girl was made the child alone. Hear the baby crying through the night, because the mother's not doing right.
What about the children?
What about the children?
How can they play?
Good evening and welcome to tonight's show. My name is Tony Nix. I'll be your host. I'm also, the founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children, based here in Lawrenceville, Georgia. Tonight's show topic is affirmative action / the First Amendment. Our call-in number tonight is 563-999-3667. That's 563-999-3667. Feel free to call in and give your view on tonight's topic. Also, the chat room is open. You got to sign in on the link, which I posted on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Once you sign in on the link, I think in order to comment in the chat room, I think you have to sign in through Facebook, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, leave your comments in the chat room. I'll try to read some of them off and also respond. Again, the call-in number is 563-999-3667. Tonight, we're talking about affirmative action. As some of you know, or hopefully most of you know, affirmative action has been in effect for over 40 years, I believe. I could be wrong. Anyway, just recently, the Supreme Court reversed the decision for affirmative action, so that stands no more. The reasoning for reversing it is they say that affirmative action discriminates against other races. What's your thought and view on that? Please call in and express your view. Also, we've been living in a politically correct society, and they made a decision on the First Amendment, whereas we have the right to freedom of speech, which I feel like being politically correct has tried to take that away from us. You know, to be able to disagree or to say no was, as far as I'm concerned, sabotaged by this politically correct agenda. So again, this is what we're talking about tonight. Again, the caller number is 563-999-3667. I'll be checking in on Facebook just in case you need help getting in or calling it. Okay, in the meantime, I'm going to take a small break, and we'll be right back, and hopefully the phone lines will light up. All right, so please stand by.
Friendly announcer, I have serious news to pass on to everybody. What I'm about to say could mean the world's disaster, could change your joy and laughter to tears and pain. I'm telling you that love
gives me a love today. Don't delay.
Send your
hey,
breaking
me.
our love. Oh.
Come
with me. It's a need.
Wow, that's a beautiful song. Oh, that was Phil Perry. Before I go any further, let me just say I don't own any of the copyrights to the music you hear tonight. Again, I'm your host, Tony Nix, and we're talking about affirmative action tonight and the First Amendment. You know, I have some questions like, what's going on with the Supreme Court? They can make decisions like reversing Roe versus Wade, affirmative action, and they can't seem to make a decision when it comes to guns in America. Is the Supreme Court corrupt? That's a question I have. Is it about who has the most influence as far as money? Is that how it's done? I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, I tend to lean that way because this issue with guns has been on the table for years. And we're still suffering from it. Gun violence in our neighborhoods, mass shootings, people who have weapons who shouldn't have weapons, states that are saying now you don't need a license to carry, which I think is insane, you know. So what's really going on with the Supreme Court? You know, why is it decisions like that is not being made? Or is it Congress's fault? It's somebody's fault. You know, somebody should be blamed for this, you know, because the decision making is suspect. You know, what are they going to take away next? We got a question that I want to ask is affirmative action needed to help black folk advance in education. Because before, when affirmative action was in effect, it did give young black students coming out of high school a fair chance, because before that, the deck was stacked against them when it comes to getting into certain colleges, you know. And I know some of the white students in these certain colleges didn't like affirmative action. They felt it was unfair, but also not so much that it was unfair. They didn't want black students attending their all-white colleges. But affirmative action made that possible. Now, according to the Supreme Court, affirmative action discriminates against other races. You know, I just don't understand the logic when we all know who's being discriminated against. Okay? And to reverse it, you know, it's like they don't care. You know, get in where you fit in. That's the way I see it, you know, and that's not right. Listen, I'm calling numbers 563-999-3667. Please give me a call. Call in, share your view on tonight's topic, what you believe is going on, you know, and why is this happening? Is there another agenda behind all of these things that are being overturned and reversed? You know, what is truly going on? You know, how do we get these people out of the Supreme Court? And how does the Supreme Court make such decisions that our government, heads of state in Washington, namely the president, can't stop? You know, how does that work? Because I just don't get that part. You know, a friend of mine asked me that last night. You know, doesn't Congress have some kind of say? What, you know, how does the Supreme Court have this kind of power to keep overturning things? You know, and three of these seated justices were appointed by guess who? I don't need to tell you because you already know. You know, is this part of his plan still succeeding? You know, I think we need to be paying attention to some things, because if so, you know, what's next? What are they going to go after next? You know, everybody seems to be worried about stuff like, they're going to take our guns away, you know, the Second Amendment. Well, as you can see, that's not happening. That's not happening. Not only are they not taking your guns away, they're allowing guns to get into the hands of those who shouldn't have weapons. So, again, calling numbers 563-999-3667. We're here for 90 minutes, folks. Or if no calls, only 60 minutes. So feel free. It's okay to be the first caller. No shame. You know, express yourself. We'll be right back in a minute.
The ghetto will fellow the more. Oh my God, they speak venomous on the boy. Oh my Lord, my enemy is fear and I'm sure. Oh my God, they want the end of me cause I'm pure. Oh my Lord, discipline for the win. I just go for it, it's a trend for these men to die on their own sword. journey far, learn who you can be. But you can learn who you are when you around family. Chip off the shoulders of soldiers on a grizzle. My granddaddy Mac Little married Nanny Little. They passed down wisdom, blessings were given. Pray my sins don't get passed to my children. I made a killing. I'm alive like the morning star. Caught Jordans for the price on stocks of what the Hornets are. I need evaluations of savvy, y'all. Eating foie gras and caviar, listen.
Adam and Eve, don't fall too far from the apple tree. Hey. Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve.
The ghost of gangsters dance, chinchilla shake on the hanger, the force of this banger, yeah, my language advanced, my cadence amazing, the voice triggers something, what is this conundrum? The clouds bury your spirit, rumble, a boyish smile, still puff the loud, it's nothing less than a quarter pound. Savage narrative, every verse that I write, burst light, brings awareness to my personal life. After my morning walk, Havana cigar, the ganja spark. See my doctor more sweating the sauna or the spa. Spend 50 large at the Bellagio. Spend 20 on a bad bitch, I hardly know. New girl every night. Two girls was every other night. Sexual addiction, gangster tradition. They wanna fuck me, have me under their belt. Slightly offended. Yeah, that's how I felt, that's how it ended. I'm just good at existing, existing in my truth. As long as I enjoy the fruit, yeah.
Adam and Eve, don't fall too far from the apple tree. Hey. Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve, don't fall too far from the apple tree. Apple tree.
What come first, piece of the paper? Before I had a piece of paper, peace was in my favor. Before I sat to eat at the table, it had leeches and traitors. Cut the fat from the meat, extract the wheat. Bon appetit, no bacon. Brothers and swine. It's so hard to trust them cause my hustle is mine. It's evident they all the same, with gray hair and still mean mugging. Gray hair's a wisdom, that means you seen something. Say something, you stay frontin'. But these clowns got false crowns, fictitional kings. You broke my heart, Fredo. You bring this thing about down to a fable. Be advised, my guy's dying, enterprising at a boss's table. There's always room at my table. Insecurities is keeping you disabled. All this money to get, is it less time? They ain't stopped printing money cause they made mine. I learned to stretch time, these are the best times. I'm in my neighborhood at stadiums, the Mets kind. With restaurants and Carboni, spicy rigatoni, go hard. A red Bordeaux, oh God.
Adam and Eve, don't fall too far from the apple tree. Hey. Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve, don't fall too far from the apple tree. Apple tree.
From the creator of War for Your Soul comes a new series, Great Despise. Feeling your history. Great Despise is guaranteed to make you feel history. Feeling your history. Can feel the history on YouTube or Facebook. Subscribe now.
How can you see? By the dawn of creation, I'm the queen of all queens. I gave birth to all nations. Y'all don't care about me. You
Mother or children while they pay us almost nothing for mothering theirs. I don't even have time to address the fetishized hatred we endure from white men, so you'll forgive me if I don't give a fuck about your corporation of feelings. Fuck you for wanting me to hold you while you sink your racist sexist knives into my already bleeding back. Fuck you for needing me to absolve you of your many, many sins against me. Fuck you for putting everybody's needs before my own. Black men, white men, black women, the fucking dog, the cat, my boss, the neighbor's rabbit, the fucking government, the endangered fucking turtles. Why are everybody's needs more urgent than my own? When do we worry about me, my feelings, my needs, my rights, my body, my safety, my fucking life? When do we begin to center the endangered black woman? I'm thinking the time is now. I'm saying the time is now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not fucking next year. I say we begin here, now, today, this minute. I'm saying fuck your cowardice, indifference, your hesitation. My time is now. My feelings are now. Make time for them. Make space for them. Deal with your race shit, your gender shit, your sexuality shit now, before we set fire to everything we take care of for you. Set fire to everything and watch the whole lot of it burn.
Ooh, I was hitting kind of hard there. Did you hear that song? I'll play it again at a later date. The sister was dropping something there. She had a message. Welcome back. We're talking about affirmative action. Well, I am, until y'all start calling in. And the First Amendment. Calling number is 563-999-3667. Now, if you're having a problem getting in, just go to the link which I posted on Facebook. And once you get there, you can sign into the chat room by way of Facebook. And also, you can listen to the show live. You know, I was looking at something and speaking of Clarence Thomas, he got with where he is today by way of affirmative action. I don't know if you knew that. And he was one of the justices that voted to overturn affirmative action. Wow. Is that surprising? To me, it's not, you know. Clarence Thomas has been suspect for quite some time now. Okay, it's been proven that he has sold out. Let me just put it like that. He has sold out. He has sold out his own culture, which, you know, if anybody knows anything about Clarence Thomas, in the very beginning, before he got to where he is today, he was a radical. He was a radical for black culture, believe it or not. Look it up. Google it if you don't believe me. Okay, but he voted for this reversal of affirmative action, and this helped him get where he's at today. You know, talk about being a hypocrite. Wow. Wow. You know, I guess, how do you say? Everybody's got a price. Everybody's got a price. I used to not, I didn't believe in that at one time. I believed in, no. You know, not everybody will sell out. I come to find out that's not true from my experience. You know, everybody does have a price. And I've seen it over and over again with a lot of different individuals who you would say to yourself, oh, no, not them. They wouldn't do it. And yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. You know, justices who made this decision, these people were appointed by a person who believes that they're making America great again. These kind of decisions don't make America great. I'm sorry. You know, you take away women's rights to choose. That's wrong. That's wrong. Women in this country fought hard for that. Hard for that. And now you're just going to snatch it away from them. Meanwhile, you give all these rights to the gay community, which is that right? No, I don't think it's right. No, I don't think it's right. So that's why y'all made this decision about the First Amendment and the right to say no. Okay? Because this politically correct agenda, you know, has tied a lot of folks' hands. And they're trying to slowly break that up. And I hope they do succeed at that. It's something I do agree with. You know, because when they came up with this politically correct agenda, I don't know who had this meeting, but I know you and I weren't there. You know, decisions was made that we can't say this and can't say that. You know, people's careers have been threatened behind a politically correct agenda. And I don't think that's fair at all. You know, so in that area with the First Amendment, perhaps they're trying to even the playing field. But now with affirmative action, I guess they call themselves also evening the playing field, you know, but I don't get that at all. I don't get that at all. I mean, black folks trying to get into different institutions, it's not that they're not smart enough. They can't get in. It's because of the color of their skin. We all know that. I don't care. You know, there's a lot of pros and cons to it. But come on. Come on. This is why they came out with affirmative action in the first place. Because they knew the deck was stacked against black college students trying to get into certain institutions. We all know that. So, you know, what is going to be the next thing? What is the next thing they're going to come up with that they can try to take? You know? Because you already see that I just, every few months, here they go. They've made a decision for something else. You can't do this. You can't have that. You know? And some of these decisions, well, you know, the decisions that I've seen so far, who is it affecting more? It's affecting minorities. women, black culture, okay? I don't know. This seems like to me some underlying kind of move, you know, and I'm wondering, what are they going to do next? What are they going to do next? Because there's something else coming, oh, for sure. Something else is coming. What? I don't know. But something else is coming. Calling numbers 563-999-3667. I'm 37 minutes past the hour of 8. I'm waiting for the phones to ring. If they don't ring, it's going to be a wrap at 9 o'clock. So if you intend to call, if you got something to say, please do it before 9 o'clock. Because at 9 o'clock, I am going to be going off the air. But in the meantime, sit back, hold tight, and I'll be right back.
My name is Kimberly, and I'm the founder and president of Black America Cares. We're committed to addressing the economic and social needs of our community. We want to help create a world where individuals and families are not destroyed due to a temporary financial hardship. To learn more about who we are and what we do, visit our website at www.blackamericacares.org. Together, let's be a part of the change that our communities need.
Hey, Queen. Girl, you've done it again. Constantly raising the bar for all of us and doing it flawlessly. When you've come to learn that all that I have learned, one thing remains, being true to yourself is the key. Knowing your root and where you come from is also key.
Young black women, you are more than your thighs and your hips. You are beautiful, strong, powerful. I want more from you. Take your place. Young black men, take your place. We need you. Your sons and daughters need you. Understand what I just said? You were sold off and had no choice, yes, but now it's time to stay. Take your place. Now. Starting now. Starting now.
And I know what I'm going to.
Looking in longevity's eyes, I play with infinity's mind. Forever's my guy, my pedigree. Above your ass, you'll never see I love the past, but see where I'm going, I get to fly. Never sold a record for the beat, it's my verses they purchase. Without production, I'm worthless, but I'm more than the surface. Want me to sound like every song on the top 40? I'm not for you, you not for me, you bore me. I drop lines, prestigious schools read to their students. Look at my album plaque, somebody agrees with the music. With loving woman you'll never see, all you know's my kids' mothers. Some celebrities, damn, look at the jealousy. Lucky me, I meet some beauties. Make you wanna shoot me, hate to brag, my worst batch kills off your best cutie. Facts is deep, we break up, they hook up with athletes. Get married, cause we wasn't that match, my G. Don't attach me to the games, I'm lucky, I'm blessed. One of my exes could be your next dog, trust me, don't test. It's the simple things in life, simple things in life. Simple things in life, simple things in life. It's the simple things in life, simple things in life. Simple things in life, simple things in life. Rolling dice, throw no aces with my gangsters. We discussing buying acres. A all the safe bets. Nothing regular or basic. Riding back to back, me and Jungle in some spaceships. Where the squad at? You can see us on the app. Chop it up as always. Stand up, Queensbridge, now the world know us. Everybody saying my humility's infectious. I just want my kids to have the same peace I'm blessed with.
You good, T-Minus?
Niggas been counting me out, I'm counting my bullets, I'm loading my clips, I'm writing down names, I'm making a list, I'm checking it twice and I'm getting them hit. The real ones been dying, the fake ones is lit, the game is off balance, I'm back on my shit. The Bentley is dirty, my sneakers is dirty, but that's how I like it, you all on my dick. I'm all in my bag, it's hard as it get, I do not throw powder, I might take a sip, I might hit the blunt, but I'm liable to trip. I ain't popping no pill, but you do as you wish. I roll with some fiends, I love them to death, I got a few mil, but not all of them rich. What good is the bread if my niggas is broke? What good is first class if my niggas can't? That's my next mission, that's why I can't quit. Just like LeBron, get my niggas more chips. Just put the Rolly right back on my wrist. This watch came from Drizzy, he gave me a gift. Back when the rap game was praying like this. To act like two legends cannot coexist. But I never beef with a nigga for nothing. If I smoke a rapper, it's gon' be legit. It won't be for clout, it won't be for fame. It won't be cause my shit ain't selling the same. It won't be to sell you my latest little sneakers. It won't be cause some niggas slid in my lane. Everything grows, it's destined to change. I love you little niggas, I'm glad that you came. I hope that you scrape every dollar you came. I hope you know money won't erase the pain. To the OGs, I'm thanking you now. Was watching you when you was paving the ground. I copied your cadence, I mirrored your style. I studied the greats, I'm the greatest right now. Fuck if you feel me, you ain't got a choice. I ain't do no promo, still made all that noise. This shit gon' be different, I set my intentions. I promise to slap all that hate out your voice. Niggas been counting me out, I'm counting my bullets, I'm loading my clips, I'm writing their names, I'm making a list, I'm checking it twice and I'm getting them hit. The real ones been dying, the fake ones is lit, the game is off balance, I'm back on my shit. The Bentley is dirty, my sneakers is dirty, but that's how I like it, you all on my dick. I just poured something in my cup, I've been wanting something I can feel, promise I am never letting up. Money in your palms will make you rich. Put it is on their neck, I got them stuck. I'ma give them something they can feel. If it ain't about to swat, don't give a fuck. Pistol in your hand, don't make you rich.
I'm dead in the middle of two generations. I'm little bro and big bro all at once. Just left the lab with young 21 Savage. I'm about to go on me, jigger for lunch. Had a long talk with a young nigga Kodak. Reminded me of young niggas from Ville. Straight out the project, no faking, just honest. I wish that he had more guidance for real. Too many niggas in a cycle of jail. Spending their birthdays inside of a cell. We coming from a long bloodline of trauma. We raised by our mamas, Lord, we gotta heal. We hurting our sisters, the babies as well. We killing our brothers, they poison the well. Distorted self-image, we settled the fail. I'ma make sure that the real gon' prevail, nigga.
I just poured something in my cup, I've been wanting something I can feel. Promise I am never letting up. Money in your palm will make you rich. Put it on their neck, I got them stuck. I'ma give them something they can feel. If it ain't about to swat, don't give a fuck. Pistol in your hand will make you real.
Ladies and gentlemen, Timo Bryson.
I gave you all.
May God bless and keep you always.
And we're back. I took a music break. Give the phone lines a chance to light up. Excuse me. And they have. Before I go to my first caller, caller number is 563-999-3667. That's 563-999-3667. I'm your host, Tony Nix, and you're listening to Enough is Enough, Save Our Children Radio. I'm going to go to my first caller. Good evening, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, and welcome to tonight's show.
Indeed. Thanks, man. Thanks for letting me on, bro. How you doing?
I'm great, my man. You know, I'm just doing a little something here. I thought this would be a great topic for tonight. I did go on Facebook Live earlier and let people know about this being on tonight. I even got some comments, people's views on tonight's topic, and I told them to call in, but they haven't as of yet. But
they busting fireworks and cook and prepping the food, man. You know how I
guess. Yeah, okay, maybe that's the reason.
But look, you touched on a lot of the hot points on this to begin with your opening monologue. The things I want to add on, first, the Clarence Thomas piece. Like, everything you said about Clarence is correct. I would suggest checking out this thing called Slow Burn. It's a podcast by Joel Anderson, Big Brother, and he did a whole, it's like a six-part series on Clarence. He ends up going to Clarence's hometown, and his mom and his sister and all of them were there, and they just let him in, and he just started interviewing them. So, dude, it's crazy how much access he got and the information he got. So let me add two things about Clarence that it might change some people's perspective on him, but it might just, some people just going to shake their head and say, mm-hmm, that makes sense. So like you said, Clarence was a little more radical when he was in college, went to a couple of events, did a couple of demonstrations. Matter of fact, they boycotted the school and made Holy Cross kind of bend in a way. So he was involved. But when he got out of school, and he went down to his hometown and studied under a civil rights attorney because he wanted to work in civil rights. He wanted to help black folks. Guess what? All of the firms in New York and the East Coast, you might as well say, the liberal firms, they would not hire him. So they didn't bring him on. So then what happens? Monsanto comes calling. And a Republican guy or conservative guy comes calling and say, hey, we want you to work for us. So Clarence spends the early 90s working for Monsanto, getting them different protections, protecting, you know, their different intellectual property, makes a gang of money, and then all of a sudden Clarence is a different person. He calls his sister a welfare queen. Meanwhile, his sister and everybody else down there, they were living without any help from him, just condemnation from him. And he calls her a welfare queen in print media. And the rest of the family, like, that was something that kind of tore the family apart because she was, I think, a high school dropout, three kids, and working the whole time while still on assistance. And he just leveled her down to just a welfare queen. So the relationship with the family is kind of interesting. But, yeah, everything you said about Clarence is correct. At a certain point, man, the money became the money, and he decided that was the way to go and became a totally different person. But we always got to add, would this have happened if one of those liberal law firms would have hired him? And he was a young, you know what I'm saying, fresh out of law school student who wanted to help black people. So it's complicated. Now, the affirmative action piece you're speaking to, you got to look up this guy, Edward Blum. He's a conservative activist. He's filed over 20 lawsuits against affirmative action, different states and different schools. So this time, he timed his lawsuits for North Carolina and Harvard to hit them both and say what they're doing is discriminatory. When in all reality, as we all know, when you start talking about the Ivy League, there's a small smattering of black people there. And that small smattering of black people is mostly, you know, people from Nigeria, people from other places. And then, like, the best of the best of the best from, you know, upper-middle-class black folk and wealthy black folk. Like, these aren't, like, poor kids with bad grades who they just let in because they're black. But that's how it's presented in the media in America, and that's how people assume it works, even though you got black family, I got black family. We both know it ain't easy getting into any college, let alone Harvard. So, you know, this concept, it's kind of, you know, been weaponized in the media, and people immediately believe it, and it's hard to deal with. But reality, biggest benefactors of affirmative action, white women. When it comes to job opportunities, when it comes to admissions into schools and everything else, white women have seen their numbers skyrocket over this period of affirmative action. And with this pulling of affirmative action as far as schools, I think we're going to be surprised and see how many white women aren't let into these elite institutions because their idea of diversity was always, well, we're going to take her, not y'all. So, this is going to get in. But go ahead, brother. I want to interrupt you.
I'm listening to you, bro. I mean, you said a lot, man. I'm going to look up those links, those books you told me you spoke on, man. You know, like I said, you know, I guess everybody has their price, you know. And we have so many who have sold their souls, so to speak, you know. And can we stand in judgment?
For a mess of pottage. Sold their soul for a mess of pottage. No, no.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be difficult, but okay, here are the two good things about this. The one good thing, this should drive more of those elite black children who would have gone to some of those elite schools to HBCUs. So you're actually going to help HBCUs in that way. The only problem is accommodations. HBCUs still don't have enough money. We're talking about they're underserved by a high amount, and if they couldn't get along, could barely get by with the student body they had, introducing more is going to make it even more difficult to do things. So there's going to have to be some money secured. And I ain't talking about Trump just redoing the option of money that was already supposed to be allocated. I'm talking about there has to be more money. I mean, you look at the honorariums for Harvard and some of these schools, they're talking about in the 50 billions. And then when you go to these black schools, man, they just happen to get some of their grads to send them $25 every once in a while. It's a real difficult thing to deal with, that disparity. But that could be a good thing because, like I said, black kids will have to be forced to attend more HBCUs. So that's a good thing. And then the other part is, man, there's so many black folks who are, I don't want to say don't want to believe things are the way that they are. And sometimes they need things to be blatant right in front of their face so they understand where we are.
Exactly.
Oh, go
okay.
Ahead.
You know, you were talking about the the money for HBCUs. I believe it's going to take those who really have it are going to have to dig a little deeper in their pockets to support these HBCUs, because there are a lot of black folks and celebrities who put a lot of money out into these HBCUs, okay, millions of dollars. And I'm going to bring this brother up, even though, you know, people frown upon him. I'm one of the ones that don't. But the Cosbys, Bill and his wife, you know, they donated millions of dollars, okay? Millions of dollars to HBCUs, you know. And, you know, for me, and me saying that, the shame of it is how folks attack Bill on false accusations, not even really knowing what he has done for his culture, okay? Him and many others have put out a lot of money to help in black education. And now we're going to need it even more, because now actually I don't know if this is going to happen or not, but to even get in some of these HBCUs, you know, your grades and whatnot, they're going to have to be very above average. You know, that's what I see happening.
Yeah, see, now that part can get interesting, because HBCUs, they do a lot of reform as far as bringing in students who are way behind and catching them up first and second semester. If you can swim, then you stay. If you sink, then you kind of get pushed out. But like you said, once you start bringing in more competition, which is going to happen from these people who normally would have been trying to get into any Ivy they could, once they come down there, yeah, that's going to raise the bar as far as getting in. So,
exactly.
So that could be a little interesting. But the other point is, though, as much as we would like wealthy folks, black folks, to donate to these schools, and of course it helps and it's beneficial, you can never equal with private donations what public funding is supposed to do. So the greatness that Bill showed in giving to Spelman and all those places, I feel like, hey man, when Bill did something wrong, Camille said, "Boy, you better write a check." And he went in there and wrote a check to Spell. He did it every time. He looked out for them. Everybody in the AUC, they know Bill did that. And so anybody's opinion on Bill, it is what it is. It's a different time period. During that time period, you telling me he was the only one using the casting couch to get set? He's the only one? Like, man, get out of here with that. He wasn't a studio exec. He was a high-profile star, but he didn't have the power of some of those other folks who then lived and died and got away with their reputations intact. Meanwhile, they're embarrassing the hell out of this 89-year-old man. So I'm with you on all that. But
yeah,
you got to
secure sure,
that
man.
Funding, man. You got to secure that government funding, because we're talking about a disparity of, like, let's say University of South Carolina and South Carolina State. South Carolina has gotten hundreds of millions of dollars from the state of South Carolina from its inception until now. South Carolina State, man, it gets real meager when you do that comparison. I don't know the numbers directly, so I don't want to guess, but we're talking about a huge disparity, and that disparity has to be addressed first before we can even get into, you know, whatever superstar or black wealthy people want to donate to it, because that's supposed to be the extra, the add-on. You donate it, therefore we're building a new building or we're building a new library or whatever. But the function, the functionality of the school, that's supposed to be from the government funding, which we have, you know, historically been denied. So that's the other HBCU argument. But, man, I don't want to take up your whole show, dude, because as you can see, I talk a lot, bro. So I don't
it's
you know
okay,
what I mean? Want to get out your way.
You're talking a lot, but you're saying a lot at the same time. You know what I mean? You're not just, so to speak, babbling or anything. You're saying a lot, man. And that I have to agree with you 110%, man. You know, where is the money going to come from? You know, that's the thing I'm looking at, you know. We're talking things like scholarships and what have you. You know, mm-hmm. Where is all of this going to come from? And does black culture really understand the importance of this? You know, because we got different systems. We got different systems that there's what do you call it? What's the word? Systemic racism. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And my view, the only way to bring about change in those systems is we have to infiltrate them systems. And how do we infiltrate? By way of education. Now, perhaps they have caught on to this. So they've come up with, you know, different plans or obstacles, so to speak, to prevent this from happening. Because these different systems are not going to change unless we get in those systems and bring about change, and don't sell out, most importantly. Don't sell out. Don't
right.
get in. And then, yeah, you know, there's always the threat of the selling out once you get in there.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But this is the things that we're going to have to do, and I think it's, you know, very important. Very important that we really take an honest look at where we're at and what's happening to us. Because they're doing it right in our faces. They're doing it right in our faces, you know. And
right. But black folks got to take a look in the mirror. But also white folks got to take a look in the mirror. Cause
they're not
going to
do that,
bro.
They're not going to do that.
Let me
saying white folks is doing what white folks
going to
do.
I agree. And Ta-Nehisi Coates, a lot of people called him negative for saying exactly what you're saying, but I agree with him too. But the point is this. They were able to rally up people to go against this idea of what they think affirmative action is because they know their son didn't get in. Well, Harvard takes 40,000 applicants, and they only bring in 5%. So that's about 2,000 people, right?
Okay.
So when you are, you know, from Connecticut and you got a 3.5 GPA, and you're applying to Harvard, and then this black kid, he has a 3.5, but he's also on the basketball team, on the city council, on this, doing whatever little work he can at some homeless shelter. And he's got all these electives on it. His resume, and he's a black dude coming from wherever, his resume is going to outshine yours. But these people are convinced that whatever spot they don't get is somebody stealing it from them. When in reality, if you look at Harvard, the majority of people who are there for any benefit are legacy students. So if your grandfather went there, you get a huge markup on getting in. If your father promises he's going to write a check first semester to make sure they get that new swimming facility that they want, you're going to get in. So they've got this problem with whiteness where they believe in where they want to make the mediocre great. Even though the results really say, like, nah, man, you're not really producing that. And overall, this is going to have a terrible effect on the United States because of this reason. China and India are bringing the best of the best to the forefront in this next technological whatever fight going forward. And if you're using whiteness to push forward your children ahead of children who are more deserving, guess what happens in the next century? You lose.
Exactly. Exactly. I believe that is the result of COVID, believe it or not. Okay. You know, speaking of that in a roundabout way, you know, because what did the U.S. do? They sent everything to China. And China is now a giant economic power in the world. Okay? And for me, this is just my view now, you know. They set off a chemical war, and it jacked up America's economy. Because they're talking about here how our economy has gotten better. And my question is, for who? Because inflation hasn't been this high in 40 years. Okay, yeah. America is not in bad shape right now, but they're not telling us that. They want us to believe things is getting better. Well, I don't see that when I go to the store and go buy food. I don't see that. But anyway, bro, I had a part two.
Well, bro, before you jump off, go ahead. But before I get off, I did want to.
No, go ahead. Make it
go. Go ahead.
I'll wait. Go ahead.
So on the inflation piece, the part that stands out the most is basically Biden and Trump bent over for the corporate class of America who said, look, we lost a lot of money during COVID. You guys got to get set this right. So they got rid of COVID protocols. They got rid of the idea of COVID even being a problem. And they didn't step to companies who were doing inflationary things like, okay, let's say you bought a bag of chips that used to have 8 ounces or whatever. Okay, now they would sell 6 ounces of it, and they would jack the price up by a dollar or 50 cents or whatever. And then, so basically, they were price gouging people in the midst of a crisis happening, and then on top of it, they were getting away scot-free because they could just always say, hey, that's inflation. Supply chains were messed up because of COVID. This is not our fault. We're doing what we can. And because Biden and Trump both would never stand up to those folks, these are the folks who made Biden take off the state of emergency. These are the folks who made Trump get rid of the idea of lockdowns and all of that. So, you know, at a certain point, man, if they're not going to stand up to them, it is what it is. Those folks are going to run all over.
Well, they're not going to stand up. Well, our current president is not going to stand up because in my view, okay, in my view, and I'm not saying this is fact, certain deals were made for him to become president. You get me in there, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And he's probably kept his word. Okay, during the Trump era, they sent out all of this stimulus money. Now, I'm a believer of the government don't give you nothing without a way to get it back. Okay? So they had this whole thing planned. We're going to send them this money, okay, and then we're going to say this COVID thing is over, and we're going
to go back to work.
Yeah, we're going to price gouge. We're going to price gouge so y'all can, so the government can get their money, and corporate America can balance their books, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, because America took a big hit with this COVID thing. A big hit,
right.
You know, people die.
Planes at limited capacity, hotels completely empty, the movie industry, nobody can go see a movie. Like all of these different industries were at zero, man, because everything was on the floor. So even the stimulus was not given to you because they like you. The stimulus was given to you because nothing was moving in the economy. They had to put something in your pocket to make sure, okay, they're going to pay the bills. Maybe they'll buy a refrigerator. Maybe they'll buy a car. Maybe they'll do this. That'll keep the economy humming until we can get back on our feet. So, I mean, that's what the game was there. So the people out there who were mad at the people with stimulus money who were spending it, that was the game. That was the plan. They needed you to spend it because nothing was moving. The economy was straight up stalled.
I agree. Because the stimulus money didn't help. I just didn't see it helping at all, you know, because they didn't really give
it helped from that standpoint, though. Like, if you got an economy and the private sector is not doing anything, then you need the public sector to step in, add some money so the money continues to circulate. And then after it's over, you cut it off immediately, and then the private sector moves back, you know, moves back to the position that they're normally in. But like you said, it didn't help nobody out of poverty. It didn't help nobody change their life or anything like that. But they got to consume, and that's all they wanted to do. Take this money, right. Consume it, go out there and spend. We need you to spend.
Exactly. Keep these restaurants open and what have you and things of that nature, you know.
Right.
Because people weren't going to these places, you know. So, you know, I always say there's a method to the madness, you know. I'm a true believer mm-hmm. of that. But on my second part of tonight, I was talking about the First Amendment because they also made a decision. I think it pertained to being able to say no or disagree. Okay. And they pointed out something with the gay community. I think a woman, she does some kind of catering or something of that nature. And she refused to do, I believe, gay events. And, you know, because of this politically correct agenda we have, it basically kind of blocked her from saying no. So they had to make some changes, whereas you have the freedom of speech, which that's in the First Amendment. Okay, yes, you can say no. You do not have to cater to certain individuals if you do not want to, which, you know, partially I agree, you know, and partially I disagree because it can be used in different ways. You know, I get people's beliefs on on certain things. I get it. You know, I can't take that away from them. But then on the other side of that, it can have some racial overtones with it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, if that makes any sense. You know?
No. This was adjudicated before, and the idea was you can't discriminate at a public-facing restaurant or anything that's of service because somebody comes in, you cannot deny that person whatever you're selling just because of whatever background or belief or whatever. So that was the idea. This was legally won already. So they're chipping away at that with this lawsuit to where you say, hey, she has certain religious convictions. She shouldn't have to do this for this group that she disagrees with fundamentally as a Christian. That's the thinking behind it. But like you said, there's a slippery slope there where it becomes all of a sudden, hey, anybody who's born in a city that wasn't a major black city that went to the club and they told you, oh, you got to go back and you got to put on a button-up shirt. You got to put on some hard bottoms. You can't get in with that. You can't get in with this. And they send you back to the car 50 times. Basically, they were trying to figure out a way to deny you but not give you a lawsuit. And if you give businesses that opportunity, as we know, like you said about some of these folks in America, they will figure out a way to discriminate. So that one is gonna get dicey, bro.
Oh, it's gonna get very dicey. Very dicey, man. Because I gotta tell you, this politically correct thing. I keep saying, you know, when did they have this meeting? Because I wasn't there, you know, how do y'all just all of a sudden going to decide what I can say and what I cannot say, what I can disagree with and what I can't disagree with, you know? And it turns into, for me, this is just my view, if you say no or if you disagree, now you're labeled. You're anti-something mm-hmm. or some kind of phobia. Just because you said no or you disagree.
You right.
know? And I said, well, where did they come up with this crap? I can't say no.
That's where stuff went wrong because it's like if people have lived their whole life in a certain way and think a certain thing, you come with something new in the past 6 months and think they're supposed to change their whole ideology and their mentality because you think they should. That's a problem. But political correctness, of course, is always, remember this forever, political correctness is always a business concept. Political correctness was about avoiding legality or liability and saying, if John Doe says whatever on Facebook, John Doe is not a representative of Wedget Corporation because we have in our terms and our motto that we don't agree with any of that. So that is John Doe acting as a citizen. You cannot sue us. We will fire John Doe and get him out the door and keep it moving. So this became a way of avoiding lawsuits. But like you said, once social media hit, it turned to this thing where you could dogpile on somebody because they didn't use the right pronoun. That's when it became something else and became something where it's like, okay, y'all doing too much.
Exact. That's the word right there, bro. That, you know, when you're talking about social media, let me tell you what they did to me, okay? I think I signed up for Facebook maybe, I don't know, 2009, something like that, okay? And I started a group page titled after my nonprofit, Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. I think the count was up to maybe almost 16,000. You know, people from everywhere, all kinds of backgrounds, gay, straight, political, spies, of course, and people mm-hmm. from all over the world, okay? I had a big following, all right? And on election day, the last presidential election, I did a video about voting. And primarily I said, vote your conscience. Don't vote because you don't like another culture. You know, we're still in the middle of COVID. You know, vote your conscience. You know what has happened. Okay, you've probably lost family members. And we haven't been told the truth about this whole COVID thing. And ask yourself, has your life really gotten better? So vote your conscience. You know, what do you want things to be better, or are you going to vote blindly? I suggest that you don't. Okay, now I said a little bit more in this video. It was a lot, you know, it was a video I posted it on Facebook, on my personal page, matter of fact. 24 hours later, I was shut down. The group was gone, my page was gone, and I couldn't get back in. And I was like, well, what the hell is going on? What the hell is going on? Now, I know it got around because I put it out there, you know, public, you know, because when I went to work, a woman at my job, a white woman, matter of fact, she approached me and asked me when my break was. I said, in a few minutes. She said, well, I'd like to treat you to lunch. So I was like, really? She said, yeah. I want to talk to you. I said, okay, fine. So she keeps me to lunch. She says, listen, you know, I saw a video last night on Facebook. She said, I watched it twice because the guy really knocked it out the park. And she said, when she watched it the second time, she realized that it was me. I said, wow, really? She said, yeah. She said, you really knocked it out the park. You know, and she said, I sent it to some friends. I turned some friends of mine on to it. She said, you know, most agreed and a few disagreed. I said, yeah, well, I get it. This is Georgia. I understand, you know. She said, but you really, really knocked it out the park. Couldn't nobody deny what you were saying, you know. And I told her, you know, I said, well, thank you. You know, and then the very next day, I was gone. They shut me down, wouldn't let me back in. Now, they let me keep my Instagram account, and it took me almost two years to get before they let me back in, you know. So I'm back on there now. You know, I got phone calls from people that told me they thought it was because I was too much of an influencer, and I said, well, maybe, I don't know, I didn't see myself like that. You know, I do blogs, I've posted a lot of things on social media, you know, and most of my stuff make you ask questions. or maybe you go like, you know, something like that. You know, I don't know everything. I just give my view and things that I do know. Now, if a person happens to agree and comment or whatever, that, you know, I welcome that. I welcome that. I've had some folks disagree, but they were real respectful about it. Nobody attacked or anything like that. But I find with social media, you can't go on there with everything because of this politically correct shit. Excuse my mouth. Okay, you can't go on there with
But I wouldn't even call it political correctness again, because with social media, okay, you sent that video. You said the lady sent it to her friends, and most of them liked it. Let's say two didn't like it, and those two send it to other people who are similarly like-minded, and they all say, okay, we're going to all report and flag, and they just do that for the next 3 days. And the company, of course, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, whoever, all they care about is the bottom line, so they're like, okay, we're going to throw this person off. It's less headache. But like you said, now you're making the public square revenge fest, and you're making it into something to where people can't say what they actually think.
Since I've been back on there, I've been warned a couple of times over nothing. And if I report a bogus account, they come back and say it's unfounded. I'm like, really? Okay. Okay, you know, that lets you know
how dedicated some of those haters are and how many times they sent and flagged your stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, if they just sit up all day and just, I'm going to hit him, I'm going to get him out of here, and they just kept sending it, eventually they're going to react. But like you said, man, that is nuts, man.
A very good friend of mine, he told me, he said, man, do you know with the following that you had, that you can change the results of an election? And I laughed when he said, I said, man, get out of here. You know, he said, no, man, really. You got a lot of followers. Yeah,
some of these races are really close in some of these counties. You swing things, you know, a couple hundred or possibly 1,000 one way, man. big ramifications, man.
So I watch myself on all of these on social media platforms because I realize this Zuckerberg cat, okay, they control a lot of social medias,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's social media out there by other names, and they're saying that they're not part of Facebook and this and that, and they're lying.
Yeah.
They're lying. Yeah. Yeah, you know, and you know.
He had Facebook. Facebook is running everything. Instagram pops up, gets too big, and he buys it. So now he owns both of those.
YouTube. Okay, that's another one.
Right.
You know, they control all of that. All of that, because I just feel like they got this thing now. We want you to think the way we want you to think. We don't want you having the privilege of free thinking. You know, that's
capital. You giving them too much credit right there. I'm saying these are damn near non-human people who only think in terms of profits and losses, and anything that could possibly put that up for dispute, then they just want to throw it out immediately. They don't care what your ideology is. They'll have 500 Trump clubs on there and 500 Biden clubs on there. And let it all ride out.
Yeah,
but anybody put their money at risk?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it is about the money. It is, and you know, if you wanna shake America, go in their pockets. You know, that's something I've been saying for years. You know, as far as economic empowerment in Black culture, there are a few basic things that we could do that would help build us, you know, build our economic empowerment. You know, we spend more than anybody. Don't nobody spend more than us, but everybody we spend with is economically empowered. And folks haven't caught on to that, you know. people like Malcolm and Martin, they left us blueprints on how to make it happen. And maybe we need to tweak a couple of things, but we know it works. And we refuse to use it. We refuse to use it.
But we also have to add that the people who did come with those ideas and that action, what happened to them? Like, that's the unsaid part about America that most black folks don't want to talk about. When we start talking about things like that, that's when they come for you.
Yeah, but you know what? You got it. You know what? I had a, when I was living in New York, I had a Jewish scholar tell me, you got to pick that flag up and keep it moving.
Mm.
That's what, you know, and she was right.
Big facts.
She said, you got to pick up that flag and keep it moving. Because that they expect y'all to quit. You got to stop quitting.
Right.
Got to stop quitting. She said, they'll throw you a bone here and there, and that's it. You know, she said, as Jews, we don't play that. After what they did to us, we said, this is never going to happen to us again. And look at us today. And I had to agree with her. She was right. She was right,
yeah.
But listen.
I mean, she's right, but we always got to add, they get $3 billion a year from the U.S. and all weapons manufacturing and everything else. They get prototypes and all of that, all because of that strategic position of where their country is. They became a partner. They didn't fight back as much as they did buy in. So, we always got to bring that up with them, man, because they don't get that U.S. grant money. 1 year.
$3 billion a year,
that is a lot.
Yeah. Listen, my man, you got to come back and join me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to do something this Wednesday, maybe get a panel on here, but it was a pleasure having you on here tonight, man. Thank you so much for calling in.
Same, brother. You have a good one, man. Thanks for letting me on.
All right. Thank you, my man. You stay blessed.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you've been listening to Enough is Enough, Save Our Children Radio. We were talking about affirmative action in the First Amendment. I'm grateful for the caller, Brother Naj. Hope to be back on by Wednesday. I don't know what I'm going to put together. I'm going to work on it. Actually, I'm going to work on it tonight. But as always, I ask you, to go to our website, Enough is Enough, Save Our Children, sign on, become part of our mission and our vision. Also, while you're there, please make a small donation of $25. It would be greatly appreciated. We need funds to make things happen. You know. Also, it's always a pleasure to be here. You know, hopefully my show will give insights on different things that you may be thinking about. And you're always welcome to join us. Until the next time, you know, I'm an advocate against gun violence, y'all. You know, we have buried too many of our own. And the sooner that we have no violence, the sooner we will know peace. That's KNOW. Deuces. Y'all stay blessed. Talk to you soon.
Oh, yeah. Holler if you hear me. Yeah. Here we go. Turn it up. Let's talk.